listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. First up this week, what happens when you have an airport hotel without a free airport shuttle? What happens when you take the least millennial and put them in that millennial hotel? How do they react? Well, that's what you're going to have on tap first today. Second up today and wrapping up the show is another one of our 10-minute segments where we cover a destination in 10 minutes or less. We started this out with our buddy Summer, who did Hawaii with us in 10 minutes or less. And this week we got Mike from Coworkaholic covering Bali in 10 minutes or less, which is a heck of a lot less time it takes to get there, almost 24 hours from the East Coast of the United States. But he'll break down the how you should get there, why you should go, and the things you should do when you're there. Before we jump into the show, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, wherever you're listening. That means you'll get the show dropped into your podcast inbox each week for free as soon as it's available. And it also helps us grow the reach of the show. We'd also love it if you'd leave us a positive rating on whatever platform you're listening. That helps us reach out to a larger audience. If you have questions or future guests that we can bring onto the show, suggestions, all that stuff, send it to me via email, ed@pizzainmotion.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And with all that housekeeping aside, let's get to that airport hotel without that airport shuttle. And of course, that not so millennial who struggled to get by in that stay. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with the guest that probably makes me laugh the most, not only at him, but at myself. Gilbert from God Save the Points is joining us today. Hey, Gil, how are you?
Hello, Edward.
Separated again by an ocean, but still laughing as much as possible. I couldn't help but chuckle through most of your recent post about your Moxie stay overseas. And I just let folks know I did have to tell Gilbert before we started, I had to remind him that my podcast is not an explicit lyrics podcast, and he's pledged to try to paint within those lines, but we'll see.
I think I just am going to grunt the whole time because it's the only way I can accurately describe things without dropping F bombs and stuff like that. So.
Oh yeah. So I should remember this from the post, but was this the first time you'd ever stayed at a Moxie hotel?
It was my first ever Moxie, yeah. I've worked my way through plenty of the Marriott brand, as I'm sure lots of you listening have. But yeah. Moxie was always the one that I was just kind of like, yeah, maybe there's another something out there. And there usually was. Unfortunately, this was a situation where I was coming in off of a very late flight. In Milan, your option is to take the 20-30 minute plunge into the city, or there's one airport hotel, and it happens to be a Moxie. And I thought, why not? Spoiler alert, I wish I hadn't.
All right, so for folks that don't know what a Moxie is or wonder why the heck they would name a hotel chain that, if you've ever stayed at a loft hotel, Moxie is somewhat similar. It's targeted to that ever-popular demographic, the millennials, so kitschy fashion stuff and certain room additions, but also, as we'll learn from Gilbert,
subtractions. There was no addition, Ed.
Certain subtractions.
Get that out of your head now.
I am sure there was a cool lamp or picture or something in that room. All right, so you land at Milan late in the evening, and to be clear, because there's two airports at Milan. This was not Malpensa. It was
Linate, yeah. So good distinction. If you're able to, especially if you're connecting from within Europe, Linate is much more convenient than Malpensa. Malpensa is over an hour outside of the city, whereas Linate is very accessible, kind of right in town. So look for that LIN whenever you get a chance. I land, and for me, one of the initial barriers of entry into most airport hotels is I'm just looking for some signage or like a thing on the website that says getting to the hotel is easy. Just do this and do that and all will be great. There wasn't.
I don't mean to keep laughing, but if I hadn't read the post, I'm not sure. Like, I'd probably still be laughing, but I wouldn't necessarily know what's coming because I use the phrase table stakes often. And for folks that aren't familiar with it, that's sort of like, you know, the bare minimum you need to provide. And so the bare minimum that an airport hotel that's not connected to the airport should provide is...
I would say a free shuttle bus. I understand there are places that don't do that, but there should be some free form of transportation to get there.
Indeed.
They were charging, some people said three, some people said four. We'll call it four because it sounds worse. €4 for the ride. And it's more about the principle. I'm very happy to pay €4, but I'm not happy to pay €4, especially because it's only like a third of a mile away. So in theory, you know, come on, let's be real. So I chose to walk because on the website it said walking distance from the airport. Of course, there were no signs when I actually got out of the airport which way I'm supposed to walk, whether it's a left or a right. And so I end up walking along a four-lane motorway with cars. This is where the F-bombs would really start to come out if I hadn't gotten that warning. But, you know, there are cars like zipping past me. It's dark. It feels like I'm in the Blair Witch Project or something like that, which any millennial listening to this might need explained to them. But it was a movie with cameras that your parents used to use. Anyway, I eventually made it to the Moxie, and I was pissed off. And my first, well, I'll let you introduce the next part.
Well, I think it's also important to note that I think you got a little bit of a heads up on the reliability of the shuttle bus. It sort of like runs when it runs.
Oh, yeah. So when I got to the check-in desk, which, by the way, shout out to Moxie for deciding to put the place where you check in at the actual bar of the hotel. So I can't tell whether this guy is flipping margaritas or whether he's, you know, handing people room keys. It turns out he's actually doing both. Really, you know, genius way of creating efficiency in your hotel, I suppose. That's one of those, like, if you ever go to those stupid presentations they do at corporations where it says like synergy, millennials, you know, I think somehow that was on a Marriott slide deck at some point, but, and that's what ended up happening.
But you have to think about this. May be genius because by the time you get to the hotel, whether it was by, you know, hurtling cars or waiting an hour for the shuttle bus, I mean, you probably need a drink, so it's an upsell.
I was more likely to break one over his head by the time I finished talking to him. But... So he says to me, "Oh, you did not feel safe." I said, "No, I didn't. I just walked through the dark for like a quarter of a mile, almost half a mile, you know, in a direction I had no idea, if not for Google Maps, which of course, as a foreign traveler, I may not have access to. And now I'm here and I'm cold and I'm tired. Oh, well, you could have taken the shuttle. It's €4. Well, I didn't feel like, I think it's ridiculous if there's no way to get here. Says, "Oh, well, let us know next time. Sometimes it does not run." I'm like, "Oh, great. So even if I had taken the shuttle, I might have had to call you, which I might not have been able to do because I might not have international cell phone plan." So we went through the semantics, and eventually I got a room key, and I made my way up the purple neon elevator with millennial inspirational quotes, you know, like, just do it, to my room.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, yeah, level zero, as Gil has in the post and the pictures, has such fascinating labels as the now, meetup, and you know, of course the obvious fitness. And for what it's worth, your reaction from the front desk agent, to be clear, you know, I'm Italian by heritage, oddly enough, and you and I both love Italy as a country. But I mean,
absolutely.
Given that I think the trash has been picked up six times in the past year in Naples, you know, the fact that the shuttle bus only runs periodically really shouldn't be surprising to either one of us.
No, it's not. It's not. And the fact that, like, they made me feel like an idiot for not taking it, but the needing to call is like, okay, enough. So eventually I made it from the now to my room.
Best line ever. I made it from the now to my room. I'm not supposed to laugh this much. I'm sorry.
So surprisingly, my room was actually nice, albeit very minimal. I was pretty pleased on initial impressions, I guess I would say. You're supposed to be leading here, Ed.
I can't. I'm laughing too hard. I just... because I'm really, and I don't want to give it away. I'm just picturing the next part, and I'm just trying to figure out why nothing got thrown. So there's your lead.
All right, so there you go. So I make it to my room. I'm pretty impressed, you know, for a small airport hotel in the middle of nowhere, which, you know, is probably just a weird sex den or something like that for most people. I am pleased. There's a nice flat screen TV. The bed seems like a nice solid bed. Of course, there's really no like counters or anywhere because millennials don't actually do any work. They just talk about it and take pictures. So why would they ever need a desk to do anything? So I put my suitcase down on the ground and I'm exhausted. Like, I'm genuinely exhausted at this point. It's around midnight and I'm going to be up around 6 the next day. And I lay in bed and I turn all the lights off except one. There's one light which will not turn off. So, like a pilot flipping switches, I then start going through the room one by one, you know, flooding daylight, turning all them off, flooding daylight, turning all them off, trying to figure out how to get this last thing off. I look under the bed to see if there's like a magic switch that somebody had flipped, or, you know, I try everything. And I think, oh, maybe I'll just call down to the front desk after I've wasted 10 minutes, you know, pressing buttons. There's your problem. There's no phone. There's no phone in the beep, 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 beep hotel. And I am livid at this point.
Just livid. And for what it's worth, I mean, I think
it's a good thing there wasn't a desk because it would have gone through the window. That's probably why they don't have desks in Moxie.
Well, the phone would have gone through the window too, I'm sure. The phone probably would have gone first. It's lighter and you're kind of a wimp, so I don't know if you get the desk.
That's so true.
I mean, if you think about it, this is why, like, people sometimes ask, you know, well, why would you stay at, you know, a Hampton Inn or something on the road? And to some degree, a reason why some business travelers will stay at those hotels repeatedly is because of horror stories like this, at least at your typical Hampton Inn or other limited service property, light switches are always in the same place. Everything always works the same way. Even if it's not, not truly special, you at least know how to make it work.
Yeah. It's not the best game, but you know how to play it like that. And that's the thing. This was like an adventure, and I felt like a grandparent trying to use the next generation of iPad or something like that. It was just, and so eventually, I literally can't turn this light off, and I don't have a phone to tell anyone. And I find this really cute, you know, great font, really bright purple lettering that says, "We don't have phones here, so if you need anything, just go down to the front desk." And I'm thinking, like, I'm in my boxers, I'm tired as beep, and I cannot even believe this is a thing. And so,
it's not the front desk. Remember, it's the now.
Sorry, you're right. The now, the bar, the desk, the anyway. So I eventually just lay down in bed and resign to the fact that this light is going to be on for the entire night, and I'm just going to take the sleep I can get. After about 3 to 4 minutes of laying in bed, the light turns itself off. And this is the first time I realize that it's a very, very slow releasing motion activated light.
Oh God, I can't.
And of course, the real downfall of all this, which I didn't share, is that I actually put in an article a couple of years ago that motion activated lights are great because I don't know my way around most hotel rooms, and so I felt like this was some kind of cruel punishment for me inspiring a millennial hotel brand.
I can't even tell you how much I really, really wish I was there. I mean, I don't want to share a hotel room. You're all good there, but I would have loved to see you go through this. I just would have loved it.
It probably wouldn't have made a Netflix series, but it could have been a viral YouTube video if you just sped up the footage a little bit. It would have been pretty good.
All right. So with all that, we'll leave our readers, after they're done laughing, with one piece of valuable information.
Don't stay at Moxie Hotels.
That was going to be my question. Would you stay at a Moxie Hotel again?
I've heard the bars are cool in places like major cities, because I generally find that millennials or hipsters or whatever you want to call them tend to do cocktails pretty well. So I think I would go there for a drink. I don't have any plans to stay at another one, and I probably won't.
I love it. But it is the closest hotel if you're flying into Linate in Milan, right?
Yes. If you have a quick overnight at the Linate airport and you don't feel like trekking into the city, It is your only option, not the best option.
All right. Well, Gil, thanks for stopping by the podcast when you're not hanging out here with me or celebrating in the now. Tell folks where they can find you.
You can find me at godsavethepoints.com or at godsavethepoint because we couldn't afford the S on Twitter.
Yeah, you really need to work on that.
Yeah, work.
Safe travels. We'll talk soon. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. And we're back on the Miles to Go podcast with a new segment that we've been trying out called 10 Minutes or Less. So we're going to be fixing on destinations that you may not know a ton about and why you want to go there, and also how to get there and what you're going to do. And for these, I'm targeting folks who are experts on different areas. A lot of these are places that I haven't been, so that they're actually helping educate me while they're helping educate you. Today's guest is Mike from coworkaholic.com, who also serves as the producer for the podcast, and he is something of an expert on Bali. Hey, Mike, thanks for being back on the show.
Anytime. Always enjoy chatting.
And so Bali in 10 minutes or less is going to be Mike doing most of the talking, because I am now going to share with you everything that I know about Bali first, which is it's in Indonesia. And I've now shared everything I know about Bali. Oh, it's affordable.
And go.
I forgot. It's affordable too. It's in Indonesia and it's affordable. So Mike, let's start with telling folks how long it takes to get there from the US, and when you've gone in the past, how do you typically go?
Yes. So if you're coming from the US, you're looking at anywhere from 28 to 35 hours total travel time.
Ouch.
Yes.
Ouch.
Well, the good news is that there are some new routes that have opened up that can drop it to under 24 hours, which is really kind of big. So up until those new 787 routes between the US and Singapore, you always used to have multiple connections. Now you can technically get to Bali just with one layover, in theory, if you're leaving, well, no longer out of LA, but if you're leaving San Francisco. So typically you're looking at flying to either Tokyo or Hong Kong, and then connecting on a flight from there to Singapore. And then when you get to Singapore, there's flights to Bali pretty much every hour on the hour.
So it definitely makes it not a weekend destination from the US. What, how many days would you think would be a good amount of time for somebody to go, given the amount of travel time?
I always recommend to folks I know that are going for the first time to really take 10 days minimum. You're going to lose at least like that day or so on each end. You kind of make it up on your return home. But if you gave yourself a good 10 days, you'd get at least 8 on the island. And then it all depends on kind of where on the island you're going. And I think that might be kind of teeing up for the next part of this, is to kind of understand that, Bali is more than just the mythical village of Ubud with the sacred monkey forest made famous in the book and the movie Eat, Pray, Love. It's got these really kind of small, unique villages that have kind of taken on identities of the expat communities. And so you've got like Ubud, which is really perfect for those that are vegan or those that are into yoga. But then you've got Kangu, which is on the west side of the island on the shore, which is kind of where all of your Australian millionaires or surfer guys live and really great burgers and pizza. And then you've got kind of the main area of Kuta, which is Seminyak and Kuta Beach, which is best described as kind of the Jersey Shore of Australia. And then last but not least, and I'm kind of missing a bunch of different areas, but the main four, the last one would be Nusa Dua. And that's where Ed Pizza will be hanging out, because that's basically all the luxury, all-inclusive resorts. So
that's where the donuts were.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you can have a really unique experience in Bali. I mean, I've done things like have a sound, Tibetan sound massage in Ubud, and I've hung out at a big noisy club called Potato Head where Paris Hilton was DJing, all within like the same week. So Bali really provides a lot of different things. It all depends on what you're really into.
Yeah. And so when you talk about ultra luxury, I mean, you can go as expensive as like the Aman Hotels, which are a beautiful chain I have not yet had the opportunity to stay at. And then all the way through the spectrum. Even though these are ultra luxury properties, they're generally more affordable from what I've heard from others. You know, when you're staying, Mike, which I know we stay a little bit differently, I'm the spoiled guy in the bunch. You know, what are you typically paying for lodging expenses?
Yeah, so I've kind of enjoyed all the different spectrums in Bali. I mean, I paid, when I was living there, I had kind of an Airbnb / guest house equivalent where my client was paying no more than $300, $400 a month. And that included like my own little guest house, outdoor shower. I had breakfast made daily by the property manager. But I've also kind of enjoyed weekends at both the St. Regis in Nusa Dua and the W in Seminyak. And so the W was pretty affordable. It was about $200 a night for a really good sized guest room. And the St. Regis, I think we used SPG points. And so I think that was maybe a 15,000 point redemption. So that would have been equal to probably what, a 45,000 Marriott rewards redemption?
For sure. And I think, you know, since you mentioned points, I think it's a good point for us to brief on quickly. This is an affordable area to travel to, no question. And so I think it's one of those things where you can absolutely use hotel points in an area like Bali, but I'd be careful because the room rates can be quite low and all the major chains have properties there. Marriott, you know, if you were to go onto the Marriott website and search for Bali, you're going to get a full page of options.
For sure.
I don't know exactly how many it is, but there's, you know, call it 15 or 20 Marriott brand hotels across their different brands. And some of them are going to be as cheap as, you know, $100 or $150 US a night. And when you think about the value of your points, you may find that you're better off paying cash and using those points for something else. As well as, you know, Mike mentioned earlier on about Singapore. And, you know, I think there, this is where I'm a big fan of Chase Ultimate Rewards points, whether you're earning them through like the Sapphire Preferred cards or the Business Inc. Bold cards, which I love because I get 5 points per dollar on my office supplies. Those transfer to both Singapore and to Marriott. In this case, given what airfare can be to Bali and how long the flights are and maybe the desire to want to be in business class, you might be better off using your ultimate reward points to transfer to Singapore to either fly premium economy or business class and save your points and use cash to pay for your hotel rooms when you're in Bali.
100%. Yes. I think that there's those rare exceptions where you can find really great value at mid-tier or even upper-tier properties. But for the most part, it doesn't make sense to be cashing in those Marriott points for a fair field in Bali.
Yeah.
unless it's at a really good redemption rate. So the thing to keep in mind with Bali is that if you are looking for really good beach time, you do not typically want to do Seminyak because, like I said, it's basically the Jersey Shore of Australia. It's a really dirty beach as well. It's a little bit less safe because, you know, people don't realize that Bali is the number one destination abroad for Australians, but it's also the largest percentage of tourism deaths in Bali is of Australians. You know, whether it be drunk driving on mopeds or whatnot, you know, there really isn't any main road infrastructure. So there's a lot of one-lane roads that are two-lane roads and cars are passing and you've got swarms of mopeds. And so you kind of want to do a little research. If you want something very chill and you got the money, Nusa Dua is where you want to be. It's kind of an enclave where all of your Westins, the St. Regis's, some of the Ritz-Carlton properties, and like the Sheraton are there. But then that's also guarantees you a cleaner beach experience. If you're going to some of the more public beaches, you're probably not going to want to be hanging out there. If you want to explore on the northern part of the island and see some of the shoreline temples or go to the water temple or even go to see the volcano or the area around Danu Batu, or they call it, you're going to more than likely be in a guest house. And you're also going to want to either secure transportation with a driver that you have throughout the whole week, or just rely on your own, which is getting a moped. But know that these roads are really long and really narrow. So the traffic in Bali has been, as of late, an issue just because of all the congestion of tourists that are going there.
Good stuff. All right. So as we get ready to close in our 10 minutes or less, parting shot, either something that you think everybody should do if they go, or the sorts of activities that you think are great to plan on when you're going to be there.
So I think that everyone should take time to go to Tana Lot. It's a coastline temple that's right on these amazing cliffs. And when you go there, they also have a nightly show, which is by far probably the least commercial, most authentic kind of native dance performance I've seen while abroad.
Awesome. I love it. All right. Well, that is Bali in 10 minutes or less with a flight of 24 hours or more. Mike, thanks for coming on to participate in the new segment. When you're not on here with me, tell folks where they can track you down.
Yep. You can find me at coworkaholic.com. We cover a variety of deals, travel hacking, and remote working tips and tricks. And we're on Instagram and Facebook at Coworkaholic, and on Twitter we are at The Coworkaholic.
Awesome. Thanks for being on again, Mike. Safe travels.
Yep. Talk soon.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, milestogo.boardingarea.com. Wrapping up this week's show with the final two pennies. And just one penny today. As we dip into spring, it's time for some spring cleaning. And no, I don't mean your closet, though mine desperately needs that, as well as my desk. But it's sort of a spring cleaning in your philosophy. Do you have some miles and points that you've been holding on to for years and you haven't used them? Well, as a general rule, they're not going to be worth more later. And while I do advocate a strategy for regular folks like you and I to store some of those miles for a dream trip, if you're keeping them and you don't have a purpose in mind, then you could be at risk for a program changing the value of something that might be on your list that you could take care of now. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be saving, but I think we should always be looking for ways to spend our points because the game is always changing. Spring cleaning is also a good time to make sure that you've got the right strategy in place as you open up the windows and air out the house for this year of points and miles earning as we move into the summer. Think about what you're using to earn points. Are you staying at the right hotel chain for where you want to redeem? Are your flights with the right airline if you're saving up for a dream destination somewhere, maybe Bali, as we talked about earlier in this week's episode. And then, of course, your credit card earning, where most people earn most of their points nowadays. Make sure that the cards that you have in your wallet match up to the sort of things that you actually want to redeem for, that you're spending on cards that have the right bonus categories. Not going to make any specific recommendations here, just a good time to pull everything out of the wallet, give it a once over, and make sure that it still fits exactly what it is you think you're saving for. Maybe your priorities have changed. Maybe there's a new baby in the household. Maybe you've got a new job that changes your travel patterns. Think about all those things and make sure that during our spring cleaning that your strategies line up with that. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you have questions that I can help answer on a future show or a guest that you'd like to see on the podcast, shoot me an email, ed@pizzainmotion.com. And you can also find me on social media for those questions. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all @pizzainmotion. One last thing, we'd love it if you'd subscribe and rate the podcast. That helps us grow the audience for more folks to get a chance to listen to our tips and tricks each week. Thanks again for listening. We've got a bunch of segments in the hopper that we're trying to put together for another great show next week. Big thanks to both Gil and Mike for helping make it a great show this week. I'll get started on that show for next week, but until then, we've got miles to go.